Preface and Chapter 1 of Margaret of Anjou by Jacob Abbott. Preface. The story of Margaret Anjou forms a part of the history of England, for the lady, though of continental origin, was the queen of one of the English kings, and England was the scene of her most remarkable adventures and exploits. She lived in very stormy times, and led a very stormy life. And her history, besides the interest which it excites from the extraordinary personal and political vicissitudes which it records, is also useful in throwing a great deal of light upon the ideas of right and wrong, and of good and evil, and upon the manners and customs, both of peace and war, which prevailed in England during the age of chivalry. Chapter 1. The Houses of York and Lancaster. Margaret of Anjou was a heroine. Not a heroine of romance and fiction, but of stern and terrible reality. Her life was a series of military exploits, attended with dangers, privations, sufferings, and wonderful vicissitudes of fortune scarcely to be paralleled in the whole history of mankind. She was born and lived in a period during which there prevailed in the western part of Europe two great and dreadful quarrels, which lasted for more than 100 years, and which kept France and England, and all the countries contiguous to them, in a state of continual commotion during all that time. The first of these quarrels grew out of a dispute which arose among the various branches of the royal family of England in respect to the succession to the crown. The two principal branches of the family, of the Dukes of York and Lancaster, and the wars which they waged against each other, are called in history the Wars of the Houses of York and Lancaster. These wars continued for several successive generations, and Margaret of Anjou was the queen of one of the most prominent representatives of the Lancaster line. Thus she became most intimately involved in the quarrel. The second great contention which prevailed during this period consisted of the wars waged between France and England for the possession of the territory which now forms the northern part of France. A large portion of that territory, during the reign that immediately preceded the time of Margaret of Anjou, had belonged to England. But the kings of France were continually attempting to regain possession of it, the English, of course, all the time making desperate resistance. Thus, for 100 years, including the time while Margaret lived, England was involved in a double set of wars, the one internal being waged by one branch of the royal family against the other for the possession of the throne, and the other external being waged against France and other continental powers for the possession of the towns and castles and the country dependent upon them which lay along the southern shore of the English Channel. In order that the story of Margaret of Anjou may be properly understood, it will be necessary first to give some explanations in respect to the nature of these two quarrels, and to the progress which had been made in them up to the time when Margaret came upon the stage. We shall begin with the internal or civil wars which were waged between the families of York and Lancaster. Some account of the origin and nature of this difficulty is given in our history of Richard III, but it is necessary to allude to it again here, and to state some additional particulars in respect to it, on account of the very important part which Margaret of Anjou performed in the quarrel. The difficulty originated among the children and descendants of King Edward III. He reigned in the early part of the 14th century. He occupied the throne a long time, and his reign was considered very prosperous and glorious. The prosperity and glory of it consisted, in a great measure, in the success of the wars which he waged in France, and in the towns and castles and districts of country which he conquered there, and annexed to the English domain. In these wars old King Edward was assisted very much by the princes his sons, who were very warlike young men, and who were engaged from time to time in many victorious campaigns on the continent. They began this career when they were very young, and they continued it through all the years of their manhood and middle life, for their father lived to an advanced age. The most remarkable of these warlike princes were Edward and John. Edward was the oldest son, and John the third in order of age of those who arrived at maturity. The name of the second was Lionel. Edward, the oldest son, was of course the Prince of Wales. But to distinguish him from other princes of Wales that preceded and followed him, he is known commonly in history by the name of the Black Prince. He received this name originally on account of something about his armour which was black, and which marked his appearance among the other knights on the field of battle. The Black Prince did not live to succeed his father and inherit the throne, for he lost his...